People of God, let's pray together. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Help us now to hear and obey what you say to us today. It is through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and God, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. I encourage you to open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God coming from the letter of James, chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the image and likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring put forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have a bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Over the past few weeks, we have been working through a sermon series on the seven deadly sins. So far, we have had an introduction to this series, and 2 weeks ago, we discussed the first deadly sin, pride, along with the vibrant and lively virtue of humility. And humility is a God-given grace to help us combat the sin of pride. If you missed either of those sermons, they are available online on our YouTube channel. I hope that they bless you and aid you in your walk with God. All right. Now we come to the second deadly sin. This deadly sin, known as the closest daughter of pride, is envy. Envy. In Dante's Imaginary Mountain, described in his poem, The Divine Comedy, Inferno, we are still journeying through some heavy biblical sins. The higher we ascend on this imaginary mountain, the less severe the deadly sins become for Dante. However, no matter how light those sins may appear, they remain very, very deadly. Thus, pride and its close relative, envy, are found at the heaviest levels of this imaginary mountain. These initial deadly sins are considered the weightiest because they cause great hurt, pain, and disorder on multiple levels. For some of us, the concept of envy might not be familiar. So, what is envy? I appreciate what Thomas Aquinas says about envy. After studying the many biblical passages about envy, he states and summarizes that envy is sorrow at another person's good. That is beautifully articulated. It's very succinct. Envy is sorrow at another person's good. Here's a modern take on Aquinas' words from Gore Vidal. I don't align very well with Gore Vidal's philosophy, but he's an excellent writer, and his description of envy is quite insightful. He wrote, "When a friend of mine succeeds, something in me dies." Personally, I admire how honest that statement is. We're all in the same boat, and we're all seasick, right? We all have our pride in various ways, and probably every single one of us in this room have at some point experienced envy. We end up wrapping ourselves in this sinful chain that confines us, that binds us in sin and sadness and darkness. And because of that, I need attention. I must be the one who receives praise. My self-worth relies on it. Therefore, when a friend of mine succeeds, something in me dies. It may not affect me if someone far away succeeds. That probably wouldn't bother me. But if someone close to me excels in my own little sphere of life, what do I say? Wow, that's great. I'm really happy for you. Right, fellow enviers? Something in me dies. Now, let's flip that around, and we come to something that the Germans refer to as Schadenfreude. My father's side of the family was predominantly German, and Schadenfreude is a term that gets tossed around from time to time. Schadenfreude occurs when you take pleasure in someone else's failure or predicament or falling. It's that feeling when someone encounters a setback or problem in their life, and somewhere inside, I find joy or feel pleased about it. Hey, I've got some news about someone. Oh, really? He did really well. Yeah, good. I'm real happy. But now the news is, I heard about this person, and he really, really blew it. He did a terrible job, and I didn't like it. Oh, really? Tell me about it. Sit right down. You are very welcomed here. We might not admit it, but fellow enviers, don't we sometimes feel that way? That's Schadenfreude. We take pleasure in someone else's failure, difficulty, or problem, and that is sinful and evil and destructive. Where does this envy come from? Fear, my friends. Fear is one of the significant roots of sin. I don't trust that I have been loved into being, that I have been given a mission, and that God wants to live and adventure through me. I am valuable not because of all the stuff that I put inside the little cage of my own little ego, but because I am loved into existence by God. We are loved into existence by God. Quite often, we forget this. And when we forget, well then, honors need to come to me. Glory needs to go to me. And praise should come to me. When other people receive it, it makes me sad. And again, there's Thomas Aquinas' sorrow at another person's good. That, my friends, is biblical envy. Envy's dominance in the Holy Scriptures is striking. Cain feels jealous and envious of Abel, leading to the first murder. Joseph's brothers are envious of him, throwing him into a well or pit and selling him into slavery. King Saul is envious of David, pursuing him with the intent to kill him. The other disciples of Christ are envious of James and John, causing friction among the apostles, to say the least. Envy is a deadly sin that leads to more sins. The deadly sins have also been referred to as the capital sins. And it's clear why. Because they serve as the heads or roots of many, many other sins and dysfunctions found in the stories of the Holy Scriptures. Violence, murder, retribution, separation, and attacks. Much of these sins stems from the sin of envy. Envy is described as the daughter of pride because I compare others to myself and perceive my own shortcomings. I observe myself closely, noticing that you receive more attention, and I feel like I'm not doing as well because of it. However, I wouldn't feel envious if I could just stop focusing on myself for just 5 seconds. How does Dante depict the punishment of the envious in his poem, The Divine Comedy, Inferno. Each of them sit at the edge of this imaginary mountain with their eyelids sewn shut. Why? It is because the envious have wasted a significant portion of their lives looking at other people. How is that person doing? Ah, better than I. How is that group over there doing? Ah, come on. Friends, stop observing others in that way. Try to close your eyes when viewing the world or others enviously. That's Dante's essential and biblical message. People of God, what often follows envy? Scapegoating and gossip. Scapegoating and gossip. Watch this, my fellow sinners. Throughout human history, and definitely thriving today, scapegoating and gossip remains alive and well. What do we do with someone that we envy? We try to undermine them. We blame them. We isolate them. And we often form little dysfunctional and sinful communities around this act of scapegoating and gossip, don't we? One of the most profound truths of humanity is that we are connected to each other. The very God who right now, in this very moment, is loving me into existence and striving to flow through me with his generous love and truth is also loving you into existence. According to the Apostle Paul's great image, inspired by God, we are all like cells, molecules, and organs in a body. All of us form a tremendous spiritual body that makes up the body of Christ. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But when we are envious, we forget this truth. And through the deadly sin of envy, we tear the body apart. We gossip, we form little sinful groups, and we talk about others in ways that are sinful and destroy the body of Christ. And we do so under the lying guise that we need to get something off our chest, or we need to talk about this thing that irks us. It's shameful. It's sinful. It's destructive. Envy ultimately leads to self-destruction for individuals, for families, for the church, the body of Christ, and our larger communities. And if you are part of it, stop! What is the biblical antidote to envy? We need it. What is the lively virtue? Admiration. Admiration. In envy, we admire people, but in a self-absorbed and dysfunctional and sinful way. So if we can admire others, let's try to do it gracefully. All of us are here because of a gracious God. Period. All of our gifts comes from God. Period. Yet many will say, oh, but I've earned what I had through hard work. Really? Where did your capacity for hard work come from? I earned my success through my intellectual capacity. Really? Well, where did that originate? See, God is the ground of all things, everything that is good. God is the source of all existence. Therefore, why play the comparison game? Look around and admire what you see in others. And yes, admire what is good in yourself. That's okay. It's perfectly fine to appreciate the gifts that God has given us or bestowed upon someone else. It's good and right for us to thank God for those gifts and to compliment others for using their God-given talents and being. We should say, thank you, Lord, for this gift. I am willing to use it, and I want you to work through me and surge through me with the wonderful gifts that you have given me. Or, thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given others. Friends, give others a pat on the back. All of this is good. When we adopt this kind of mindset and act on it now, we assume a position not of envious revenge, jealousy, or hatred, but of healthy and godly admiration. Let's take a look at a line of Holy Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, who states this, O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works. Isaiah 26:12. Display this verse of Holy Scripture on your refrigerator, or set it as your desktop background on your computer or phone. O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works. Have we done it? Sure, we have done some work. It is ours. But God has done it through us. He accomplished it, gifted us, persuaded us, moved us, provided it, grounded it, and God, in one way or another, has made it happen. Here's some practical advice with dealing with envy. Go out of your way to praise someone, especially those you envy. Take the time to honor those people. Write a note to them. Make a phone call. Send a message. And tell someone else about that person and what they have accomplished through the grace of God in a good way, in an honoring way. Additionally, if you find yourself in a scapegoating or gossiping group, or if you hear about one or see one that one is getting worked up and blaming others, intentionally disrupt that group and narrative by intervening and praising the one that they are trying to critique. And then tell them to stop. You understand the feeling that arises, my friends, during scapegoating. Interrupt it by consciously praising the person that everyone else is criticizing. God has created a radically unequal world. Why? Because we all have different missions. Each of us is here for a specific purpose. And God has given each and every one of us unique gifts to further his mission in the world. Embrace that and stop engaging in comparison games. Praise God and others instead, honoring and lifting each other up. Here is one last example of an Holy Scripture as a counterexample to envy. At the wedding in Cana, from the Gospel of John chapter 2, the hosts run out of wine. Now, fellow enviers, how would we react? This is a disaster for them. All right, this is a disaster for them. It's not going well. I don't like it. Did you hear that they ran out of wine? Did you hear they ran out of wine? No. Stop being sinful and destructive. What does Mary, the mother of Jesus, do? She says to the Lord, "They have no wine." And to the servants, she says, "Do whatever Jesus tells you." In other words, Mary does not fall into envy at that moment. She does not take pleasure in someone else's sorrow. In fact, she's trying to help. Mary actively assists by working towards a solution, and even better, by pointing out the problem to her son, Jesus the Messiah. Let that be your grace, gifted to you by the Lord, and again, what you strive for. When people fail or have problems, may you be willing to actively help them and turn to Jesus, our Lord, in prayer. May you also have a detachment from envy and instead pour out gracious and godly love and admiration to all those around you, so that in this, the body of Christ may be built up and not torn down. Often, through pride, envy, and gossip, people tear God's church and its followers down. Instead, together, may we build each other up into God's glory, holiness, justice, and mission, so that others may come to admire the one and only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's admire God. Let's lift each other up. Let's rise so that others may see the glory of God. Please, pray with me. Help us, Father, to close our eyes, only to open them again with new sight. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we see things as you see them. Help us not to tear people down, but to build them up into your image for them. In the name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.